soot what the Lord.
Of the Lord on a beautiful day again. The Lord has blessed us with. His mercies remain new. Good to have you here in person and also online. God be praised for the gift of mothers, which then leads to a question. Why is love complicated? Love for God, love for a spouse, love for a child, love for a parent, love for our neighbor, friend, or stranger. Thankfully, what is not complicated is the love God has for you and for me and for all people, and the love that He wants us to show Him and also one another. So God help us then, stop making love complicated. A love for Him and love for others. And granted, that love that we show toward others will look different based on who it is toward at that time. With all that in mind, may the Lord bless us in our worship of Him this day. What a timely reminder we have from God through His Word. And so I invite your attention to the middle of page 3 as we continue with our invocation.
God our Father, each day is
a gift of your grace.
Your mercies are new every morning.
Guide our steps by the light of your word.
Shield us from harm and keep us from evil.
Better than life is your love. Praise be to God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Let us worship Him.
Lamentations 3, this I call to mind. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for His compassions never fail.
They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness.
I say to myself,
the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for Him.
The Lord is good to those whose hope is in Him. To the one who seeks Him, though He brings grief, He will show compassion.
So great is His unfailing love.
For He does not willingly bring affliction or grief to the children of men.
Let us examine our ways and test them, and let us return to the Lord.
Let us confess our sins to the Lord.
Almighty and merciful Father, we have strayed from Your ways. We have followed what we have devised and desired in our hearts. We have offended You and sinned against Your holy law. We have done those things that we should not have done, and we have not done those things that we should have done. Have mercy on us, Lord. Spare us, forgive us, and restore us, according to Your promises in Christ Jesus.
God, our merciful Father, has forgiven all our sins. He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Redeemer and Savior. Jesus paid the penalty for our guilt by His death on the cross and freed us from death by His resurrection from the grave. We have peace with God now and forever.
Amen. Thanks be to God.
Let us give glory to God, our might and our life. Let us pray. Father of lights, every good and perfect gift comes from You. Inspire us to think those things that are true and long for those things that are good, that we may always make our petitions according to Your gracious will.
Through Your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with You and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Psalm 119. Your word, O Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens.
Your faithfulness continues through all generations. You establish the earth and it endures.
How sweet are Your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth.
I gain understanding from Your precepts. Therefore I hate every wrong path.
On this Sunday after Easter, reading from Holy Scripture, Acts 17, a reminder that belief in a God is natural. What is not natural is knowing who that God is, the only God. Paul then stood up in the meeting of the Areopagus and said, "People of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.' So you are ignorant of the very thing you worship. And this is what I'm going to proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by human hands. And He is not served by human hands as if He needed anything. Rather, He Himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. From one man He made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth. And He marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek Him and perhaps reach out for Him and find Him, though He is not far from any one of us. For in Him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are His offspring. Therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by human design and skill. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, But now he commands all people everywhere to repent. For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We continue with our song, We Are Sinners. We'll sing it together as is known.
Thank you.
As we stay connected to the word of our Lord, we are to remain ready to share the hope that we have through that word of our Lord, a hope that we are to make evident through our lives. A reading from Holy Scripture, 1 Peter 3. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats, do not be frightened, but in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a conscience, so that those who are maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. For it is better. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. After being made alive, he went and made proclamation to the imprisoned spirits, to those who were disobedient long ago, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah, while the ark was being built. In it, only a few people, eight in all, were saved through water. And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a clear conscience toward God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand, with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him. The word of the Lord. For the song, He Will Hold Us Fast, we will join on singing the refrain. I invite you to stand for the gospel reading. A reading from Holy Scripture, the Gospel of St. John, the 14th chapter. A reminder of what love for God looks like and what it can expect. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and that you are in me, and I am in you. Please be seated. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. This is the word of the Lord.
Praise be to you, Lord Christ.
Sing now our hymn of the day.
Grace, mercy, and peace are definitely yours in great abundance, thanks to God our Father, and through our living Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we continue our focus on the Scriptures this morning. We turn back to those words from John 14, where we hear once again, "The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them." This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed by that rock and redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, who loves us and showed that love for us in a variety of ways, God be praised for that. Would you consider yourself to be a loving person? Would you consider yourself to be a lovable person? What evidence do you have to back up your answers if you answered yes to one or both of those questions? We have some time. Any volunteers? Time's up. If we answer those questions for ourselves, what are we most likely to say? Well, sure, I'm a loving person, and who couldn't love me? But the true test would be asking those around us, family, co-workers, friends, would they say the same thing that you say about yourself, that you are loving and lovable? And then there is God, who reads the heart and the mind. There is no fooling God when it comes to the answer to those questions. And what is one thing that each and every one of us has to admit when it comes to being loving and lovable? There is great room for improvement. Brief context to these questions about being loving and lovable. Jesus is getting ready to face death. The death he knew he had to face, and why he came to this earth. That death on Calvary's Hill. Now, if that death would not be bad enough, what is also weighing on his mind and his heart is the betrayal, the running away of his disciples. Then, under pressure, and still disciples today, when under pressure, for too often we cave and end up going with the world and denying Jesus. As then, so today, thankfully, people did come back and do come back to the Lord, thanks to his love, and are in a position once again to love as he loves us and wants us to love others. For we are loved to love. Now, this is not an option. There is no punching a time clock when it comes to showing this kind of love. There are no vacation days from showing this kind of love. We are not to get AI, artificial intelligence, to do this kind of love for us. No, we are loved to love. We are loved by God, and the evidence of God's love for us is very evident. First of all, it's evident in the fact that he has given us his own Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Savior. That is not a gift we deserve in any way, shape, or form. Now recall some of the relationships, the loveless things that you have done with those relationships. Things that you have said, things that you have done or have not done that you should have done. When it comes to a family member, a co-worker, a friend, even a stranger. Can you and I say that we have a perfect track record when it comes to being loving and lovable? I mean, ask a mom right now. Would a mom say that she's always been loving and lovable? Would a child be able to say that without fault, they love their mom perfectly? And that they are always lovable. Oh, they're so cute when you squeeze their cheeks. That doesn't make them innocent, because we are born in sin. We are enemies of God, and it doesn't take long for that sinful nature in us to become evident. We may excuse it as being cute, but it's wrong. Not sharing. Mine. They know how to manipulate little babies. They're pretty good at it. And if not corrected, that grows into greater acts of manipulation. And so that applies to each and every one of us. Our track record for being loving and lovable is not good and surely not deserving of the love God has toward us. But that's what His love is all about. That whole agape love, it's unconditional. It's not based on what we do or what we deserve, but on His mercy and on His grace, not giving us what we deserve. But giving us what we don't deserve in His Son. And at the heart of that gift of His Son is the saving work of Jesus. Talk about proof beyond comparison. The Apostle Paul, by the Holy Spirit, was able to capture this love of God. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's how God demonstrates His own love for us. While we were still sinners, we weren't even thinking of God and His love and what He could do for us out of love. And that love of Christ, that love of Christ compels us to no longer live for ourselves, but rather for Him who died for us and rose again for us. That's love. We are loved that much by God that He sent His Son to take all our loveless moments to the cross with Him so that they would not be held against us any longer. That we not have to live in the past and live in regrets, but rather live today and moving forward in His love, motivated to love as He wants us to love. And further proof and motivation to love as we are loved comes in the empty tomb. Because He lives, we too shall live. The motivation then to love God who has done this for us, given us complete and full forgiveness of sins, and given us life to look forward to, a life that gives us hope now here on this earth, despite all the negative things that are going on because of sin. How can we not but want to show our love for this God who loves us first and foremost? Another evidence of God's great love for us is the fact that He doesn't leave this love and the gift of Jesus just hanging out there to capture it somehow. No, He brings it to us. He gives it to us through His means of grace. The gospel in word and sacrament, this baptism now saves you. The gospel in the word itself saves you. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved and is in a position to love as we are loved. That's the Holy Spirit's role. And He's content being the silent partner, putting the focus on Jesus at the heart of our salvation. A gift from God the Father. All three persons of the Trinity, one God, yet three distinct persons, working together for our good to bring us into a relationship with Him and keep us in that relationship. The Holy Spirit is the one who enlightens us, calls us to God, and gives us that relationship in Jesus, for on our own we cannot do that. The world is not on the same page with God and His love. There's plenty of evidence of that. The world has its own idea of what love is. It's not unconditional. I'll love you if first you love me. It's kind of like a mom having to bribe her child to behave. That's not love. That's a spoiled child. Shame on the child, shame on the mom. Love for a child and love for a parent is the flow from God's love for us. But how many moms are not teaching their children what love of God really is and what it looks like? How many parents are not demonstrating the love of God and are making it conditional so the child only grows up to think, I need to only to love when love is shown to me? That's not the love that we are called to love and live. The Holy Spirit reminds us then what true love is, because the Holy Spirit has, as John points out by inspiration, is truth. Just as Jesus is truth and God the Father is truth, they speak truth. And that truth does not change, but the truth of the world, it's constantly changing. So what is truth? Well, we know what it is. And at the heart of that truth is God and His love for us, who has called us to love. You and I, as believers who have the Holy Spirit working in us by the grace of God, we know the Holy Spirit's role and what He does for us. We know what Jesus has done for us and how that continues to benefit us. We know how God the Father continues to provide for us day after day, things that we take for granted, the sun and the moon, the stars, food on the table. God be praised that He loves us so much and has called us to love. And that's the second part of the Holy Spirit's role, to keep us in that love, which He does as we stay connected to the means of grace. And as we're connected to the means of grace, the gospel in the word and sacrament of baptism and the Lord's Supper, He empowers us to love as we are called to love. For the disciples who had the Holy Spirit working in them, they got a big rush of love and knowledge and truth on the day of Pentecost as promised. For Jesus said, I am not going to be with you physically much longer, but I am not leaving you. I am with you always. And the proof of that is the Holy Spirit will put that big rush into your heart and your mind, and everything that I've been teaching you will become clear. At the moment, they were going, what? But on Pentecost, they went, wow. And they could not help but proclaim the love of God for them. Talk about a light bulb moment. And you and I have those light bulb moments too. I mean, how many times have you read the scriptures until you get to a certain account in the scriptures and you're going, I don't get it. But then on that eighth time, you're reading that and you're going, oh. Or you're sitting in a Bible study or talking with a friend. Oh, that's what that meant. It doesn't come automatically. Faith is either there or it's not. But the growth in that faith comes the more we are in the Word. Even if we're distracted during the sermon or during the worship service or during our Bible studies, personal devotions, there is still opportunity for the Holy Spirit to have something stick. Never underestimate His ability. Never underestimate His ability to move us to love. Believers, you and me, by the grace of God, cannot help but love. This is love for God, to obey His commands, and His commands are not what? They're not burdensome. He doesn't put the burden on us. We put the burden on ourselves. We put the burden on others. In one word, what is His non-burdensome command? Love. What's so complicated about that? It's not Him who's the problem. But I don't want to point the finger at me. I want to point it at Him, but then, oh shoot, there's still three fingers pointing back at me. But as believers, right, we recognize and see the love of Christ and how He wants us to put that love into practice toward Him first and foremost, and then toward others. We have His commands. We know His desires. There is no excuse then for us not to show love to Him, making Him the priority, not just when it's convenient, when nothing else comes up on a Sunday morning or during the week to make time during His Word for His Word. He's the priority. Is it any wonder why the church and society is the way it is when God has not remained the priority? It's not rocket science. Respect Him first and foremost, and that respect for Him will show itself in a respect for others. What do people want? Respect. Let's show it out of love for God. Worship God. And as we worship Him, that love for others will be evident. It will show itself in being loyal. Husbands to wives, wives to husbands, parents to children, children to parents, all over, right down the line. Loyalty doesn't mean we put up with abuse. Doesn't mean we put up with a lack of respect. That's not love, and that's not loyalty. But loyalty does show itself in still showing love even when we're not being loved. It doesn't wait to be shown love first. And it's not a checklist. We don't need a clipboard or an app on your phone to say, did I do this today? It is to come naturally. And every day, is there room for improvement? Amen. It's not the end of the sermon. Amen, there's room for improvement. And so God help us stay connected. And as we stay connected, love happens. Unconditional love. It exists. It grows. Blessings become evident. And blessings become evident, as the Lord said, through obedience. Obedience motivated by love. And as we love, that fosters an atmosphere of love. Not just touchy-feely love, but real, deep, heartfelt, forgiving love. For as we said, when we're disconnected, what falls apart? Love. It starts in here. It starts in the home. It carries even over into society. And dear friends, we are lacking a lot of love in our homes and in our society. But the solution's right here. And so we're going to say it again and keep on saying it. Yes, we need change in our society, but not a change further away from God, rather a change back to God and His Word and His love. That's where you come in. Spilling over that love in your own households, wherever you be, showing love to people, even when they're not deserving of it. Keeping in mind what the Lord has said, as we do that, He is with us always. And one day we will see Him face to face. But in the meantime, we pray, Your kingdom come. Lord, continue to strengthen Your rule in our hearts and expand that rule in the hearts of others. Empower us to live the love that You have called us to love and to live and shower us with the hope that You have given to us. A hope even in the face of some head-shaking moments. That is the great thing, dear friends, about being loved to love. And we want others to know what that experience is all about. So keep up your love, for you are loved. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. We join in the confession of faith. It's found for us on the top of page 10. We join together.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
What are we meaning to say with these words?
I believe that I cannot, by my own thinking or choosing, believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to Him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with His gifts, sanctified me, and kept me with true faith.
In the same way, He calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth, and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith.
In this Christian church, He daily and fully forgives all sins to me and all believers. On the last day, He will raise me and all the dead, and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true.
Please be seated. We turn to the prayer of the church on page 12. We pray, grant us, O Lord, to live each day in gladness and peace, without stumbling and without stain, that reaching the evenings victorious over all temptation, we may praise you, the eternal God, for you govern all things and are praised now and forever. Make us instruments of your peace, where there is hatred,
let us sow love.
Where there is injury,
pardon.
Where there is doubt,
faith.
Where there is despair,
hope.
Where there is darkness,
light.
Where there is sadness,
joy.
O Lord, grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love.
For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life.
Dwell in our homes, O Lord, and let the trust of our families be centered in you alone, so that no difficulty, trial, or adversity rob us of the conviction that you are our helper in every time of need. Relieve the afflictions of the weary and the sick, and dry the tears of the troubled and sorrowful. Lead them to look to you as the unfailing spring of healing and hope.
Help us to believe and trust in him, love and serve him, that in all our thoughts, words, and actions, we may manifest his spirit. Rebuke our selfishness and subdue our self-indulgence. Deepen our sympathies, strengthen our hope, and confirm us in our faith.
Take our silver and our gold, not a mite would we withhold. Take our intellect and use every power as you shall choose. Take our love, O Lord, we pour, at your feet its treasure store. Take ourselves, and we will be ever only all for you. We thank you, Lord, for those who are able to celebrate another year of grace here on earth. As you have watched over them through life to this point, we trust you will continue to watch over them. The love between a husband and a wife is also a gift from you. May those couples among us able to celebrate this gift be renewed in their love for each other, reflecting this in their words and actions. We praise you, O God, for the gift of mothers. You have promised to be their strength and outlet during the days of raising a child. Continue to grant mothers everywhere the ability to meet their responsibilities with love and joy. Let us not take mothers for granted or apologize for the important role they serve in this world. Help mothers endure during times of a lack of praise and support from family and friends. Forgive them for times of selfishness. Refresh them with your love shown in Jesus, their Redeemer and ours. Now hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. All these things we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. We also pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
We pray, O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, pour out the Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep us strong in your grace and truth. Protect and comfort us in all temptation, and bestow on us your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. And good to see you today in God's house, and may you be able to enjoy the day, especially moms among us. But it's not just one day. Every day should be appreciation of moms. Bible study taking place here in the church proper, looking at the Augsburg Confession, and Sunday school for our younger children. We'll start out in the chapel at 9:15. Anybody's welcome to join them in the sing-along from 9:15 to 9:30, and then teens will be up in the gathering space. Lutheran Women's Missionary Society, just a reminder that they're looking for your vote, ladies, for the International Board of Directors, as well as mission projects for home and world missions. You can find information there on the information board in the lobby, and also the vote box is there too. Your ballot is due by May 21st. Next week, as we noted in the weekly news, we'll be having our ammo can available to fill up with our gifts so that we can support our chaplaincy program throughout the world. So more about that can be found on the information board. Other activities next week, just a couple of items to mention. The school performance on Friday night at 6:30. You will need tickets. Tickets will be available at the door. So that's 6:30. Six. Don't come late. 6 o'clock. Thank you for that correction. And then the Saturday and Sunday, two opportunities. The River City Chorale will be here in our sanctuary. Just keep that in mind. For now, another way to get connected to what our school is doing through this video.
Hello, St. Mark's, and welcome to another edition of our quarterly school video update. My name is Mr. Darren Vogt, and I have the privilege to serve as the principal of our school. The end of our school year is quickly approaching, and there has been a lot going on. Let's take a look. On March 31st, we held our annual family game night. It was great to see so many families getting together, playing games, eating tacos, and winning prizes during bingo. Our third and fourth grade basketball team played in their annual tournament. They won 3 out of 5 games played. A big thank you to Mrs. Erickson for coaching this year. We look forward to seeing what these students can do in the future on the court. During the first week in May, our students demonstrated their acquired knowledge from throughout the school year by taking the NWEA spring map testing. It was great to see so much growth from a lot of our students. On May 5th, our 3rd through 8th grade participated in the annual Bible Trivia Competition. It was great to see so many students know so much about God's Word. This year's champion was 6th grader Penelope. She walked away with a brand new Bible and a Leatherby's gift card. May 8th through the 12th was Teacher Appreciation Week. Our teachers were graciously given gifts, words of thanks, and even got to enjoy a meal put on by several parents of our school. Thank you to all of the teachers of our school for your continued dedication and work in sharing the gospel with the children of our school. This week, we invite you all to come to our spring performance night, which will take place on Friday, May 19th at 6 p.m. The junior kindergarten through second graders will be performing some songs, and the selected 3rd through 8th graders will be putting on their performance of A Lighter Shade of Noir. Tickets are just $5, and you can purchase them from our school office. On May 24th, we will be celebrating our 8th graders by having the 8th grade luncheon in the gymnasium. We invite the parents of our school to bring their own lunch and join in on the fun as we say goodbye to our 8th graders as they prepare for their graduation. Afterwards, the 8th graders will be having a half-day skip day. On Monday, May 29th, there is no school as we observe Memorial Day. And now, I would like to pass it off to our 8th grade class speaker with a special message.
Hello, I'm Kylie Ross, the 8th grade class speaker of the graduating class of 2023, and I'm here to invite you to the closing service, the graduation, and the award ceremony on Wednesday, May 31st at 6 p.m. I hope to see you there.
Thanks, Kylie, and God's blessings to our 8th graders as they leave St. Mark's and begin a new chapter in their academic learning. To wrap up our school year, we will be having our annual end of school year pool party on June 1st. We do have several events planned throughout the summer to help us stay connected with the students of our church and school. June 12th through the 15th is our Lions Summer Basketball Camp. July 17th through the 21st is our Summer Bible Camp. And August 7th through the 10th is the Lions Summer Volleyball Camp. Lastly, at this moment, our enrollment is already projected to be higher than it is this current school year. Please, if you know anyone that is looking for a new school and wants to learn more about Jesus, encourage them to learn more about our church and our school. Thank you for your continued support, especially as we close out the school year. God be praised for the 53 years of education here at St. Mark's. Until next time, His mercies are new every morning.